Distant explosions dotted incessantly across the screen of stars, each light momentarily altering the surrounding constellations. Wave upon wave of humanoid samurai dough launched from the platforms of the Musashi, rushing across the void toward the Hades IV, only to be challenged halfway by the extra humanoid Itai of Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Yeah, nothing like a little Rice Krispies with your theme music there. This is Deadpan number 28. It's not necessarily stone, but beautiful. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. 10 Long Seconds of Silence. Yep, that's me. So let's delve on ahead into episode 28 and see what the hell happens. What do you say? Thus endeth the intro babble.
To go to a vampire ball and dance with them beneath a harvest moon would be a dream.
To not know who they really are behind their masks, knowing they are hunting, would be a nightmare.
Surprises await your every step within the shadows. This promises to be a night you won't soon forget.
Come join us and discover what happens next at La Bal Masque Nocturne, Saturday, October 28th, 2006, from 8 p.m. to midnight, at the Grand Ballroom of the Crown Plaza Hotel in Phoenix, Arizona.
For tickets and more information, visit masknocturne.com. That's MASQUENOCTURNE.com.
A portion of the proceeds will benefit the American Cancer Society.
Hi, this is Paul from Des Moines, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
And now, as you requested, we're going to do an old-school classic comments thing, where it's going to go through all of the episodes and pick comments at random. There have been 28 episodes. I actually have found this ancient utility from 1997. It's actually called Polyhedron Dice, and I can put in any range, so I'm going to do a roll of 1 to 28. Wow, nice little sound effect. That rolled a 9, so we'll go back to episode number 9, and we'll pick a comment at random. In this episode, you know, this is the last one that had a low level. This one actually only had 166 comments. So we'll just click in, we'll just scroll down and do a random screen grab. All right. The first one is from Alvi. The comment is, "Of course, Andrea. Ha ha ha, your diplomacy is no good here, Jason. Ha ha ha, too. You can't kill what you did not create." Jason C., I guess in response, "This is an act of war. Let loose the dogs of war." "Okay, Alvi, you get your G.I. Joes and I'll get mine and we can have them fight." Alvi's response, "On Stalker, on Breaker, on Scarlet and Snake Eyes, on Clutch, on Flash, on Rock and Roll and Grand Slam. My Joes beat your Joes." Jason C. responds, "Put his Joes on the small hill in the backyard." That's in action asterisks. And his text response, "Ha ha, you can't do anything now. I have the high ground. Don't try it, Anik. Alvi. And unfortunately, we ran out of room there. And you know what? I remember well some of those guys that Alvi mentions. I had Stalker, Snake Eyes. Clutch was the guy with the beard who drove the Jeep. And Grand Slam was... Anyway, so that's it for... The classic spoon, I guess the wooden spoon. I don't know. I think this is absolutely run its course. Oh, hey, I'm getting a Skype message.
The following presentation is approved by the Imperial Public Relations Division. IPRD presents Trooper TD-0013. We are the Empire. We're here to help.
All right, you maggots, wipe that stupid grin off your faces and listen up. This is Deadpan.
My lord, the war goes well, but rebel propaganda is convincing more and more systems to join the Alliance. If this continues, we could have a problem.
I believe it is time to unleash the Emperor's secret weapon. Communications officer.
Comms are open, my lord.
Command to TD-0013.
Meanwhile, on Tatooine!
I'm telling you, babe. If you got a can opener, I got the time. Trust me. Once you pop the top, you can't stop.
Command to TD-0013. Your Empire needs you.
God damn it! What now?
A different point of view. The Star Wars saga through the eyes of a stormtrooper. For all things TD-0013, go to www.adpov.net. Don't be fooled by imitations and clones. This is the only point of view you need.
You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. God, I'm so excited.
You ignorant simp.
Dumbass memories.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Ed from Texas with a dumbass memory for you. Back in the sixth grade, I was going through a gymnastic phase for some reason, and I was hanging out with the girls on the playground, which I think was probably more the motivation. Around, I guess, what we kind of called the monkey bars, this particular set was three horizontal bars, each of a different height. And the trick at the time was, of course, to swing yourself forward and flip yourself over the bar. After a fair bit of practice and encouragement from the girls that were there every day, I found myself able to do the lower bar, which was about the height of my chin, and the second bar, which I could reach with still keeping my feet off the ground. But that third bar, you had to be able to hang from the bar and then swing yourself over, and I just could not pull that trick off. And I eventually gave up, until one day, a girl who had attended our school previously, and who had pretty much captured the attention of every boy in school, came back for a visit. And where was she hanging out? But of course, those same monkey bars. So here I was, walking along the playground with a friend of mine. I was about 50 feet away from the bar, and I decided to make a run for it. Naturally, I figured, if I could just get up enough speed, I could use my momentum to just swing myself over the bar in an impressive trick to show off to her. So, of course, I take off running, full speed, bar in sight. I leap, reaching my hands out for the bar. And that's about all I remember, at least for a few seconds. Because the next memory I have is of myself screaming like a girl on the ground in a severe amount of pain. I do believe I ended up at the emergency room. As best I can tell, I either missed completely, or I grabbed and just couldn't hold on and ended up landing on my head, which probably explains a few things now. Needless to say, the girl was not impressed, and any aspirations I had of becoming a gymnast were certainly dashed. So, let me just apologize now for any Olympic gold medals that the United States didn't win back in the late 80s and early 90s when I certainly would have been in top form. Well, sorry about that.
Double dumbass on you!
Thanks for that dumbass memory, Ed. And actually, he assures me that there were no stitches or concussions, only, quote, a considerable loss of pride. And actually, this is a double dumbass memory, and the second one is from me. I haven't done one in a long time, and I figured I should. It's got nothing on Ed's story, but I'll tell it quickly. So, I guess I was about 10 or 11, probably 11, and I remember kind of getting into WSOU in New Jersey. They were playing a lot of the hard rock and punk and alternative stuff at the time, and I remember just being cracked up at some of these band names. They just sounded so silly. So I just figured I would tell my dad. We were just talking, going for a drive, and I was just telling him, you know, just rambling as 11-year-olds are wont to do. And just telling him, yeah, you know, there's all these really crazy, strange band names, you know, like Iron Maiden and the Dead Milkmen, and then there's this crazy band called the Circle Jerks. Now, I had no idea that that actually meant anything. To me, it was just, you know, like the Triangle Idiots, or, you know, like the rhombus scumbag. So my dad, being a pretty smart person, didn't get mad or anything. He just kind of, he knew the deal and just said, you know, that's an old-time dirty expression. That's all he said. I mean, I wouldn't find out what it actually meant for a couple more years. And remember, I was only 11 at the time. And a little embarrassed me, suddenly became a little bit more worldly.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Who is it?
Pizza delivery.
Come in.
Hello. Did someone here order a large sausage pizza?
That was me. But I'm more interested in the sausage than the pizza.
Well, baby, let's get it on then.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah, like that.
Ooh, the sausage is good.
You're not so bad yourself.
Ooh, baby. Mmm. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
He's bringing sexy back.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hey, Deadpan, it's Andrea. With my earbud for the week. Sting has a new LP out. That it's basically he's redoing music from a 16th century composer, John Dorland, I think was his name. And it like alternates between songs and then Sting reading like some, I don't know what it is he's reading. I have to look more into it, but it's kind of cool. It's very different, not anything you would expect. They also had a compilation called American Hardcore, The History of American Punk Rock, from 1980 to 1986. It was so cool. That's all the stuff from I remember from high school. It had Black Flag, DOA, Minor Threat, Jerry's Kids, Circle Jerks, just all kinds of people. Adolescents were on there. It was like a blast from the past. It was kind of cool. Also, in that same vein, they had Violent World, a tribute to the Misfits. And basically, it was a bunch of punk rock bands redoing Misfit songs. Sick of It All was on there, NoFX, Pennywise, Therapy. So that was kind of cool. Like I said, it was kind of a blast from the past there. Other than that, there was the free single was kind of cool, Mute Math, Plan B. It's free, so, you know, check it out. I don't know if I'm saying this band right. Debrye. They're kind of an electronic hip-hop band. They had a new LP out. It's kind of instrumental. It's very mellow, awesome stuff. Art of Noise put out a 4-CD collection. It's like $40, but like I said, it's 4 CDs. So, you know, if you like Art of Noise, you just go through it and like pick all the songs I didn't realize that were there that are really cool. And finally, last but not least, of course, the Twilight Singers' new EP came out this week, Stitch in Time, and it's awesome, awesome, awesome. I know you guys are sick of hearing about them for me, but they're just an awesome band, and it's a really, really good EP. That's it. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Jack. This is Tanner from Illinois. Just trying to give you another earbud. In your last episode, somebody suggested Nightwish. Great band. Other bands along the same kind of theme, kind of that whole fantasy rock, operatic rock type. Check out Lacuna Coil. Check out Iced Earth. Iced Earth is a little bit heavier, a little bit harder, but definitely in the lines of fantasy rock. One of their best albums is Dark Saga, which is basically the entire story of Spawn in audio format. It's amazing. You got to check it out. Another band that's in the same kind of a line would be Camelot. That's spelled with a K. Anyways, that's just my opinion. Thanks, man. Have a good day.
Oh, my God. What happened to the pants? They're all dead. The pants are dead. I'm stuck with dead pants. Can anybody help me? Jack Mangan, can you help me? Deadpan. Deadpan Podcast. Host, Jack Mangan. Yeah.
Take that, you bloody pants.
What's that? Yeah, Ma, I killed the pans. Pans are all dead. Wait, you didn't want me to... You didn't want pans dead? Oh, you mean a dead pan. Jack Mangan's Deadpan. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
Why I Like Batman, a long essay by Jack Mangan. Batman, whether you picture Christian Bale, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Michael Keaton, the guy from the Batman Dead End web film, Adam West, the scores of trick-or-treaters every Halloween, Bob Kane's original images, Frank Miller's artwork, or the drawings of some other artist, Batman is always presented as the Dark Knight, vigilante defender of the innocent. With or without his sidekicks and allies, he is depicted as a dark figure standing alone, stoic and calm, protecting us from the flamboyantly wicked. This depiction holds true, but is not entirely accurate, as it omits an important facet of his character. I see Batman more as standing alone, stoic and calm, protecting us from the annoying. Just look at his pantheon of villains. Imagine spending an hour with the Joker. Here's a guy who was a common thug until he fell into a vat of chemicals and it turned him annoying.
Hello, kiddies! Meet the Joker!
His manner of speaking is grating, his color schemes are eyesores, his laugh, his jokes... ugh. Seriously, who wants to hang out with someone who never stops smiling? Could there be anyone more irritating? Well, right, I guess there could. The Penguin. The umbrellas, the top hat, the monocle, the wah-wah-wah laugh, he sucks. But of course, he's James Dean compared to the Riddler. This is the most nerve-dicking laugh of them all, and those form-fitting green question mark jammies, holy crap, he could not be any more uncool. I think Joel Schumacher looked at Frank Gorshin on the campy late 60s Batman show and said, "Hey, how can we make the Riddler even more unbearable to watch in that Batman Forever piece of crap? Right, get Jim Carrey to play him." Two-Face, Egghead, Mr. Freeze, Scarface. Wait, isn't Scarface the evil ventriloquist dummy? Please, someone scratch their nails down a blackboard. And didn't they combine a bunch of these twerps into a cabal for the feature-length 60s Batman film? Good fucking lord. Can you imagine what those meetings sounded like? Their henchmen are now qualified to work in any preschool anywhere in the country. Counterpoint.
But hey, in the 2005 film Batman Begins, Ra's al Ghul was the bad guy. He wasn't annoying at all.
True. But what was his master plan? To disperse chemicals into Gotham's air and water, which were going to make everyone hallucinate and go nuts. He wanted the city to annoy itself to death. And the Scarecrow was a little bit obnoxious, come on. Counterpoint.
But hey, Catwoman isn't annoying. In fact, she's kinda...
Ahem. Add another counterpoint to that.
Batman's trusty sidekick, Robin, is pretty damn annoying. And I'm not only referring to Adam West's buddy.
Absolutely right. Catwoman exists to show that evil isn't always obvious and flagrantly disagreeable. Sometimes it can even be very appealing. Robin exists to present the opposite statement. Sometimes good can be really fucking annoying.
Holy hole in a donut!
So in a world where cheery, studly, preppy, yuppie, perfect, happy-go-lucky Superman is the number one hero, an icon of righteousness and cheer and happiness, Batman is in himself a counterpoint. Brooding, moody, depressed, unhappy-go-unlucky, an icon of gloom and shadow. Superman is a god, with powers coming out of his red-caped ass. Batman is a common man with no powers, albeit tons of gadgets and devices to protect his black-caped ass. While Superman is class president, quarterbacking the football team, with the cheerleaders all lining up for him after the game, Batman is hanging out alone behind the bleachers, smoking cigarettes and stubbing them out on his arm, attracting the outsider kids and the girls in black lipstick. This was the poignancy of Frank Miller pitting Batman against Superman in the Dark Knight Returns graphic novel. Batso presents more like a villain than a hero. dressed in black, sticking to the shadows, operating out of his dank underground lair. He's a grim force of darkness, operating against living representations of cheeriness and joy, but gone horribly wrong. Some of his most recognized enemies are clowns, a penguin, a comedian's puppet, usually widely embraced images in our culture, often used to inspire mirth and laughter, especially in children. In Joker, Riddler, Penguin, etc., they've become warped and twisted personifications of fun taken too far, like being tickled until you can't breathe. They've become annoying. Fortunately for us, while these guys are whooping around and acting like zany, out-of-control morons, we have Batman, cool, calm, deadpan, ready to swoop in like extra-strength aspirins and remove these headaches. This is why I like Batman. Big up thanks to my homies Jeremy from Seattle, Alvy in Boulder, and Mark Foreman in Taiwan for their vocal talents, just to add a little audio variation to that long essay.
Hello. This is T. Morris of Podiobooks.com, the survival guide to writing fantasy, and podcasting for dummies. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Yay.
So you may or may not have heard this on the most recent episode of Michael and Evo's Winging It. Was it number 80, 81? Sorry, guys. I don't want to go and look. All right, I'll go and look. Anyway, I'll talk as I'm clicking. It was it's done by the Anthem Choir, and Mike Menengay requested, come on, slow computer. Mike requested that that people play it on their own podcasts. So I thought it was brilliant. And I'm complying with Mike's wish. Come on! Sorry, I just broke deadpan. I hate my old slow Commodore 64. Come on! Okay, why was I clear? Oh, yeah. Alright, it is, alright, it was number 80. Boy, that was a lot of, crap for nothing, huh? Anyway, here is the Anthem Choir performing FCCFU.
My country, to be sweet land of liberty that once was true, until the FCC shows what we hear and see on radio and on TV. FCC, FU. You censor every voice, that's what you do. We say, go fly a kite, but that's far too polite for stealing First Amendment rights. FCC, FU. What makes your ass so tight? Does the religious right rule over you? Those few fanatic fools and your outrageous rules kick freedom in the family jewels. FCC, FU. Soon those misguided kooks will all be burning books with help from you. Why be so meddlesome? Must you assume we're dumb? What is it you protect us from? FCC, FU. Are we all so repressed that one small glimpse of breast must be taboo? One Janet Jackson boob bashed up what's on the tube. Bend over, we're not using lube. FCC, FU. satellite, FCCFU. What I hear, what I see, please leave that up to me, not up to you. If I'm offended, I'll just simply turn the dial, and I'll be saying all the while, FCCFU.
Okay, that's it. So thank you to Paul from Des Moines and Andrea and Jeremy for answering the call to submit Jack Mangan Deadpan promos and bumpers. It's great stuff. Keep them coming if you have access to recording or if you just want to call one in. The voicemail line is 206-350-TOMY. It's 206-350-8664. Or just call in with your dumbass memories, stolen rap lyrics, rants. Tell me the contents of your fridge, you know, whatever. And hey, thanks to my other contributors. Great stuff, great content this week. And thank you very much to my PayPal donor. Had one this week. Very nice of you. It's always appreciated. And if you want to donate money, there's a button on the sidebar at www.jackmangan.com. That's it. I've had enough. This has been Deadpan number 28. I've been Jack Mangan, a.k.a. Right, you get the point. So we're going to leave off with one final very nice voicemail, which will explain why we're repeating music, which has been played before. This is actually the first time I've done this. I'm actually not out of original music. We'll go back to something you haven't heard before. But I'm playing sort of a classic of the Deadpan. This is a repeat song. But it's probably the one that got the strongest reaction. And I don't think I need to announce it because I think this voicemail will set it up nicely. So thank you. I'm not coming back after the music. And I'm not going to do that playing the wrong song thing this time around. So that's it. I'll see you in Deadpan number 29. Keep it real. Keep it deadpan. Thanks, Amy, for this really nice voicemail. And good luck with NaNoWriMo.
Hi, Jack. This is Amy. I just wanted to tell the Deadpan community about something that's going on in my life. I've just signed up for National Novel Writing Month for my third year in a row. This year, I'm writing a sci-fi novel involving space exploration and space battles. Here's what makes this relevant to this podcast. As a NaNoWriMo participant, I declare Asteroid Speed Highway by Matt Mango to be the official theme song for my 2006 NaNoWriMo novel. The Wishing Bridge is one of two CDs I'm planning on buying to accompany this year's novel writing efforts. The other one is the soundtrack to the anime movie The End of Evangelion. Your music rocks on this show. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
But hey, in the 2005 film Batman Begins, Ra's al Ghul was the bad guy. He wasn't annoying at all. First take, yeah. No idea.
Batman's trusty sidekick Robin is pretty damn annoying, and I'm not only referring to Adam West's buddy. Batman's trusty sidekick, Robin, is pretty damn annoying. And I'm not only referring to Adam West's buddy. Batman's trusty sidekick, Robin, is pretty damn annoying. And I'm not only referring to Adam West's buddy. Batman's trusty sidekick, Robin, is pretty damn annoying. And I'm not only referring to Adam West's buddy.